John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. How many of you have read the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Yes. How many of you taught the lesson, the feeding of the 5,000? Sure. Just about half this group could teach this lesson tonight. Say, what are you going to tell us that we haven't heard before? Nothing. Nothing. But it's in here for a purpose and in here to draw some truths. And it's a wonderful story. It's a real event. This isn't just a parable. There's something unique about this miracle. I remember a couple of years ago, I don't know exactly how long it was. Could have been 10 years ago. It could have been a year ago. But I was going to preach a series of messages, Aaron, on the things that Jesus did that were in all four of the Gospels. It was a very short series. Say, why? Because this is the only thing. Outside of the crucifixion and all of that, but for miracle-wise, there's only one that is written in all four of the Gospels, and we're going to read about it tonight, the feeding of the 5,000. Say, does it make it more special? Yeah, I would have to say so. Say, well, why do you think it's the only one that's in all four of the Gospels? Well, maybe because the enormous impact it had. Say, how so? 5,000 men plus women and children were fed. That's a lot of people that impacted. That's maybe 10 to 12, maybe even 15. Some people speculate close to 20,000 people. That's a lot of people feeding 5,000. There's a lot going on here. Miracle of feeding the 5,000 was an exceptional event. The magnitude, maybe it was just 5,000, even still. 5,000 is still a lot of people. The number of people that witnessed it publicly. Many a times he would just do a miracle and touch one person, and maybe there'd be a small group or even a large group, but you could measure maybe in 100 here. A large magnitude of people. Let's read John chapter number 6, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for recording this story here. God, we know that you've done more than these books could ever contain. You told us that. But God, I'm thankful for this story. It's a reminder of your hand of provision and your almighty power, but at the same time, a testing of our faith. Lord, I needed to be reminded of this here tonight. Lord, it's good to have our faith proven. And Lord, I pray that you do that again here. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask that you not through familiarity dismiss the message tonight. We'll end around verse 13, 14. But it starts off, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. After these things, again, when you start a sentence like that or start a statement like that, after what things? Well, he was just discussing with the Pharisees. He was just giving forth his explanation, the four witnesses that prove who he is. He was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were not very receptive to the message of Christ. They were not very receptive to the teachings of Christ. They didn't like the sermons. They didn't like to be the illustrations in his stories. And now the Bible says this, and that's why I named the message Feeding the Followers, because it says in verse 2, and a great multitude followed him. Hey, there was, though, a group of people that wanted to be around him. There were a group of people that wanted to have their needs met by Christ. There were a group of people that wanted to hear the teachings and wanted to hear the preaching. So, hey, when this world says, hey, there's nobody left, hey, there's a group of people that, although not everybody wants to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still a multitude following. Don't let the devil steal that from you. And here, what do we see? Jesus spent some time. I'm glad he spends time with people that want to hear from him. You know, you got someone that maybe in your life or a family member that every time just gives you what for, just makes, I'll use the word complicated, just makes life a little more complicated. Well, you're not hurrying over to see that person. You'll catch up with them maybe at Christmas and maybe Thanksgiving every other year if you have to. But then there's people that you love spending time with. And that's kind of what we have here. There was a multitude following Jesus. They wanted to hear. This wasn't contentious. This wasn't prove to us who you are. This wasn't calling into question Christ's authority. They were there because they were being healed. They were seeing miracles. And he spent time with those that who wanted to hear from him. Hey, we ought to be that person. We ought to be that one that tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off, and I know maybe some of you are going out of town or whatever, or some of you are just back at it again, starting up the cycle again, another Monday morning. Hey, do you want to spend, would you have been there? Are you the follower of Christ? Say, what does that mean? That you come to the Lord and say, God, I'm open. I'm ready to receive what you have for me. I want to hear another message again. I want you to speak to me again. Are you a follower of Christ? Is that you? Is that what describe you? He was somewhat impatient with, in a perfect divine and godly way with those Pharisees that were contentious. But it seems like he always makes time for those that wanted to hear from him. Hey, that humbles my heart. That means as a young person, you got a tender heart towards the things of God and you want to get a hold of something from God. Young person, teenager, you want something from the Lord. You know what? It's amazing how the Lord makes time for us. And don't forget that. Hey, in verse 2 it says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. While again, it is encouraging to see a great multitude following him, we do say, we see in verse 2, they did this because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Say, is that wrong? In itself, not necessarily. After all, that was the purpose of the miracles. If he didn't want people to see these signs, he wouldn't be doing them, correct? So it's doing what it is that it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be drawing people to him. But understand, it will be crucial for each individual to realize not just what he is doing, but who he is. Remember in John chapter number 4, it was very important for that woman at the well to understand who it was that was talking to her. It wasn't just a prophet. He was the Messiah. And this isn't just a magic show that Christ is doing. If we review quickly, John chapter number 1, we find him baptized. John chapter 2, we find him at the marriage in Cana, turning water to wine. In John chapter 3, a conversation with Nicodemus at night. John chapter 4, we see the conversion of the woman of Samaria. In John chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son. John chapter 5, the healing of the impotent man. John chapter 5, the fourfold witness whose purpose was to proclaim what? Who he was. And now here we are in John chapter number 6. And by now, because of those things and a number of other things that he has done, there's a large multitude following him. The other day, I got a call and someone asked if I could come see them at the hospital. I've not had very much interaction with this person, so it was somewhat of a cold call. Went in, Bible in hand, and went over to Strong Memorial Hospital, and man, that place was packed. If you go during the day to Strong Memorial Hospital, chances are if you get there after about 10 a.m., you're parking on the roof. Say, why is that? Because there are so many good doctors there, and there's so many opportunities to help people that people come from all over to that hospital. There's nothing that hospital, they say at Strong Memorial Hospital, there is nothing at this hospital that we can't treat. cancer, heart, anything. We have specialists in every area at the same time, not just for adults, but for children. That's why it's so busy over there. How about the one that can heal all diseases? What do you think the crowd was like following that? A multitude. Say, oh, they were there for their own personal gain. Well, somewhat, yeah. And that's why Christ did the miracles. But eventually, please understand, just like for you and I, hey, we can be around miracles, but until we personally realize that He is our Savior, it doesn't mean anything. In John chapter number 6, starting in verse 3, the Bible says, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Hey, even though there was a multitude there, they followed. Jesus needed a little time alone. This reminds us of His humanity. Hey, once in a while, you get busy about the Lord's work. It's been a busy July. Where's Roy? Is he out in the hall? Yeah. Man, it's been a busy July for that young man. Well, he's 40, so he's not young anymore. But I mean, between camps and VBS and this and that, and we sign up for all that. But you know what's important? Hey, to get away a little bit. And hey, so it is in our life every week, right? That's one of the benefits of coming to church. Why? You get away from the grind of life around some special people with the purpose of worshiping the Lord together and encouraging one another. And you know what? I hope Sunday night you walk home spiritually refreshed. I hope Sunday night you're like, all right, I'm gonna give it a go again. Hey, this last week was difficult, but bless God. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. After our Sunday morning message, I have an opportunity. It is a privilege to serve Him. And honestly, after reading John chapter number 6, there's nothing He can't do. Let's give it a go again. Amen. And maybe you get spiritually refreshed. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you got to withdraw from the battle a little bit and fellowship with the saints. Now, I don't think you should live on vacation, but I do think you should take a break. I think you can get weary in well-doing. And that's what Christ does. Here, there's a lot of people there, and He says, hold on a second. Let's come up to the mountain for a little bit. And there He sat with His disciples. What'd they do? I don't know. Maybe they just sat. Maybe they were just fellowshipping, telling stories of things that had happened. It doesn't have to be a long time, but maybe a half a day. Doesn't say. Verse 4 and 5. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Well, we have a natural problem here. Christ looks up as He maybe is coming down out of the mountain, and there they are. It's going to tell us a little bit about the place. It was a desert place. There was much grass. This isn't in the hills. This is more of a plain area. And there He looks out and He sees a lot of people. A lot of people. A great multitude. And for some reason, the Bible tells us that He picks on Philip. Now, sometimes I'll come over here and I'll call on Nate or Benjamin, and I do that to keep all of you else awake. Like he could call on me, I better pay attention. And these guys are great. Yeah, very good. You're always sharp looking, and I can't call on you tonight. You don't have a tie on, but that's fine. That's fine. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just giving a hard time. And I don't know why He called on Philip. I mean, it tells us a little bit. He wanted to prove Him. But out of the 12 disciples, He picks Philip to answer this question. And if I asked you this question, if I called up Claire, how about that? I usually call on the guys because they're sitting here. But I call on Claire and I say, Claire, hey, everybody here is hungry. What do you think we should do? Claire would say, well, let's go see what's in the fridge and freezer, right? I mean, good idea. All right, we got 60 Freezy Pops, but I don't think that's going to fill up Brother Drolleman. So we're going to need some more food. What do you think we should do? Now, I have a plan in my mind, and Jesus had a plan in His mind, but He just wanted to see what Philip was thinking. Man, I'm telling you, every time I study the disciples and I hear the response to the test of faith, I feel like I would have answered the same way, and it's always the wrong answer. They're just like you and I. You understand that, right? But he's getting Philip. If I called on Claire and I said, all right, Claire, we got to work on feeding all these people. You know what? That task just became personal to her. Why? Because I asked her the question. Hey, I want to see what he's going to end up doing. Maybe she'll, after we look and say, hey, there's nothing in the fridge. And I say, okay, here's what I got. I got pizzas coming for everybody. And you're like, oh, whew. Well, I'll help you serve it. All right. And all of a sudden that task becomes personal to her. Hey, maybe the same thing with Philip. Maybe he'd been on a stretch and his faith was wavering a little bit. And he calls on Philip and says, hey, Philip, what do you think we should do here? Maybe because Philip was having a struggle in his heart. Hey, if you think that you got to be 100% all the time to be used of the Lord, you're wrong. It's God that does things through us. Hey, sometimes I'm, maybe you, but sometimes taking a step of faith is hard. And sometimes there are seasons in our faith that get a little dry. Perhaps Jesus knew what his response would be, and he wanted to use Philip's maybe lack of faith or doubting as a contrast to the great miracle. Hey, man would say this, but I'm going to do this. Isn't that what Christ does? And somehow this miracle would become personal to Philip. Why? Because he's about to have a hand in it. And may I say, it is not uncommon in our Christian walk for our faith to be tested. Has the Lord ever tested your faith? Oh, no, never. I don't know how you can live. Ever fail that test? Moses did. Say, no, you missaid it. No, Moses did. Numbers chapter 11, verse 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? God tells Moses, I'm going to feed them. And he says, we have 600,000 footmen. Are all the fish in the sea just going to jump onto land? You know what what Moses did? He doubted a little bit. This is the guy that parted the Red Sea. It's the man that went up on the mount and saw the hind parts of the glory of God and saw the hand of God write in stone the Ten Commandments. Hey, we've seen some great things, but there might be some times in your life where God tests our faith a little bit. Hey, you know what our view is? Our view is very carnal, right? I mean, we would answer just like Philip would. 200 pennyworth, he says in verse 7. We look at the evaluation, and here's the problem. Here's the problem with when we pair up with Christ. We look at it as the very natural answers. Claire, you would have been right. Hey, let's go raid the fridge. Let's see what's in there. Maybe there's some Sunday school snacks. And when God gives us tasks to do, let us remember this. There is a divine application to things, a power and a resource far beyond what we can see. And that's what I think Christ is calling into conflict here. You know, the Lord says, hey, he's kind of, we see this multiple times in the scriptures. We saw it when he changed the water into wine. He sent those servants and said, hey, do this, fill it all the way up. There's always a human interaction in the miracles. It's kind of like, do all that you can, and then I'll take it from there. And we're going to see that, because that's exactly what he does. He has the people sit down in an orderly fashion. Hey, to get 5,000 people, we just had VBS. It was hard to get 60 kids under control. Much less 5,000. So we had the disciples helping get them seated in an orderly fashion. And that demonstrated, in our life, we need to slow down from our busy schedules enough to maybe receive something from the Lord. Then we see the Lord, and again, this is in all the, and it's not in all the passages, in Luke chapter number 9. He blesses the, he prays over the food. Number one, people got to sit down in an orderly fashion. Number two, we must place our resources in the hand of God. It's so much better there. Only the Lord can feed through the efforts of his own people. Understand that. We can only bring people to Christ. We can't save anybody. And then nothing was wasted. Look at John chapter number 6. I don't like verses like this. I don't like tests. The Bible says, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Maybe he knew about Philip having a hard time. Maybe Philip went out and, I don't know, maybe experienced some ridicule and difficulty. Maybe there was a family situation. Maybe there was a health situation. Whatever it was, he drew attention to Philip. And the Bible says he did that to prove him. Hey, when God picks on you, understand, like, not like picks on, like, annoys or bullies you. But when the Lord is working through you, understand that he's trying to teach you something. And that's not a bad thing. In verse 7, John chapter number 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." You know what he did? He did some quick calculations. He looked out over all the people and he said this, "We would need a lot of money to feed this many people." Failing to take into account that he's talking to the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Taking into account that he's talking to Christ who has endless resources. Verse 8, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him," and this part of the story baffles me, can I tell you? In John 6, 9, it says, "There's the lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And I think of this story, and I just, in my mind, I see the picture. I just see it. He comes off talking with the Pharisees. He walks over, he's got a multitude following. He says, "You guys wait here. I'm going to go talk to the disciples a little bit." Maybe they're talking there up in the mountain. He turns around as they're coming down. He sees the multitude of people. He asks Philip, he says, "Philip," and there he is amongst the multitude, maybe up against them, close by, people there trying to get to him to be healed. He asks Philip, "Philip, what do you think we should do?" Proving him. And I don't know how this little lad, we're not given his name, I don't know how he appears, but this guy shows up and somehow in the hands of Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, there's this boy and his lunch. There's this lad, he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Brother Bauman, where are you? There you are. Tell me, how big are barley loaves? Are they big? Are they small? I think they're little small barley loaves. They're like these things. 2 small fishes. It would be a good lunch for a young boy. Maybe 2 boys. Maybe he was carrying it for a while. Let me tell you, I've smelled tuna fish in the microwave. That ain't good. I'm hoping that fish is dried and somehow packed in salt. Otherwise, maybe like an anchovy. Anyway, sorry. We digressed. But somehow, this boy heard about, listen now, there are thousands of people there. What makes a little boy say, "You can have all I have. You can have, if it'll help, here's my stuff." Here's the disciple looking at it going, "We don't have 200 penny worth. We would need this much money. We would need close to $20,000 to feed this many people." And yet the faith of a little child undoes a disciple. He just says, here, you can have, listen now, everything I have. And you and I look at that and go, oh, it's just so small. Yeah, so was the widow's mite. But God was pleased with that. We just had vacation Bible school, and we had a bunch of young little people bringing in their pennies, nickels, dimes, and dollars to give to missions. I know for a fact some little kids under the age of 15, I mean, they're little, gave everything they had. And in 1 week, over $3,000 was raised for missions. That's VBS. Amen. What is that? That's a little lad bringing his five loaves and two fishes and says, it's not much, but you can have everything I have. Faith of a child undid the faith of a disciple. You see that? I think that's wonderful. The willingness to use small things to do great things. Oh, I'm nobody. I'm insignificant. Hey, you just place your hand in God's hand, and it's amazing what He can do with a little. There could have been 10 million people there, and those five loaves and two fishes would have fed them. Regardless of why that little boy did it, he did. And I encourage you, little people, everything you got, you give to the Lord. In verse 10, it says this, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. And so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Sit down, he says. Sounds like I'm talking to my dog. Sit down. Obedience is a necessary ingredient in miracle making. Imagine if Noah told God, why am I building an ark? Why am I building a boat? It's not even raining. Why are you having us sit down? We must learn to be obedient to what the Lord tells us to do, because there are things that we just cannot see. Here's a great principle. Before we can be spiritually fed, we need to slow down. He could have had them all line up, single file, double file, and just stand at the entrance and just keep going into the bag, dun, 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 and fed them all. Why do you want them to sit down? Maybe a good principle to us. Hey, you want to get something from the Lord? You better slow down. Psalm 46 in verse 10, familiar verse. You can go there. Look there. Psalm 46. Just a few more verses. Psalm 46 in verse 10. Hudson, can you read that for us nice and loud, please? I'm going to interrupt you. You know that, right? Okay, go ahead. Stop. Be still, and in being still, what happens? And know that I am God. Sit down. Everybody get in order. Sit down. And listen up, because you're about to see something. Isn't it nice to kind of get away? Isn't it kind of nice to just get away with the Lord a little bit? Slow down for a minute. Turn the emails off. Turn the social media. Hey, next Sunday night, special message on social media. That is a herd of bulls running down the street. And we're going to try and harness that thing. Social media can get out of control very quickly. Try and be a help to you next week. But before we can be spiritually fed, we need to slow down. Is it possible that God's people are starving to death spiritually just because they won't take time to have a spiritual meal? Well, I got to work. I do this, and then I got to go here, and then I got to do that. Where's the time with the Lord? Where's the meal? Where's the seating and the feeding from the hand of God himself? I just don't got time for that. Just go, go, go. We live in a fast food society, right? Unfortunately, in our life, we are satisfied with a career, entertainment, and fail to slow down and just spend time with the God of heaven. Be careful. You will become spiritually anemic. In the passage, it says there was much grass. In other passages, it says it was a desert. A desert is just a place where people don't live. There's much grass there, and not a lot of people live there. Verse 11. John 6, 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. I don't know how you cut 5 loaves evenly to 12 people. He's trying to do the math, and it's like, wow, those are weird fractions. How do you, and you can cut up 2 fishes easily, 2 little fishes though, amongst 12. Like, how about Philip? Did he just get the tail? Did he get the head? I don't know how that all worked. But there he gave them some, and he sent them on their way. And I don't know how, again, Lydia, I want to see it. Was it in a covered bag, like a black bag, and you stick your hand in, and every time you stuck your hand in, out came a piece of fish, and where were we in Trinidad, Joe? Remember, what was that? What was the fish we had in the shark bake? Shark bake. So they took bread, fresh-made bread, cut it in half, open it up, fresh piece of, fried shark and put it on there, and then they gave you the sauce, and some of the sauces were spicy. Maybe it was a fish sandwich, a barley loaf and a fish. And everyone got a little sandwich, but it says this, as much as they would. Were there not Jewish teenagers? As much as they would. Jesus takes the loaves. Hey, here is such an important point. Jesus must get his hands on the bread for anything good to come from it. It would not have worked if the boy took the meal and started handing it out. It had to be in the hands of God. It didn't matter how much it was. The quantity did not matter. It was just the fact that the Lord got a hold of something. How about in your life? What are you holding back thinking that you can do better if I just hold on to this? And God says, I can do so much better with this if you give it to me. He uses the disciples to distribute it. Again, much like John chapter number 2 and the marriage feast of Cana. And instead of the disciples saying, I was there when he turned the water into wine. Oh no. I was part of feeding the 5,000. I wonder what the Lord has planned for you. Hey, I don't want to just see things. I want to be part of the things of God. I want to be part of His miracles. I want to take everything I have and put it into the hands of God and see what He can do with it. In verse 12, it says, when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. That doesn't make sense. That math does not work. You don't take 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and feed that many people and end up with more than you started with. See, what do you call that? A miracle. A miracle. Then those men, which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." I don't know if they had some sort of short-term memory loss. If you look at verse 22, the day following, when the people stood on the other side of the sea, saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that the disciples were gone away. So there's a day later, look at verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" How about 5 loaves, 2 fishes, feeding a lot of people? And sometimes you and I are like that. God's done amazing things. Yeah, but what about today? I understand that God had not fully revealed himself totally, and but he's about to teach something by the end of this chapter, that he is the bread of life. And that is the principle here found here in this passage. It wasn't about barley loaves and fishes. It was about Christ meeting the needs of everybody that was there. You understand that in this room, Christ can meet the needs of everybody that's here. Spiritually speaking. Say, "No, no, no, it's going to run out." It never runs out. It didn't matter if there were, again, 500, 5,000, 50,000, 5 million, 50 million. There's enough of the bread of life to go around. So tonight, whose faith do you got? Philip or the lad? How am I going to get out of this? How are we going to handle this? All right, let's look at the ledger. What are we going to do? And we look at things naturally. How about this? God, here's everything I got. What can you do with that? You know what we need? We need the faith of the lad. How are you tonight? Faith of the lad? Faith of Philip? Do you want to just be around it, or do you want to be involved in it? I just want to see miracles. How about I want to be involved in the miracle? Why don't you put yourself out there? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. I look at these verses often, but let's look here, and this will be our closing verses. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Hey, you're the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Put yourself in the hands of God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How about you take your life and put it in the hands of God and say, "I know it's not much, God. I know it's very little in the grand scheme of things, but in your hands, I know it can accomplish much. Use me how you will." Let's all stand tonight. The faith of a lad over the faith of the disciple. Some of you would say, often my faith represents that of the disciple. Just me trying to figure it out. How? Anybody like that? Okay, maybe just me. Say, "No, I'm all about, I'm the lad. I just give God everything." That's great. I'm so glad. Well, you pray for those that maybe struggle a bit with that. Maybe you're here tonight and say, I don't want to just see miracles. I want to be part of them. I want the Lord to use me. Anybody like that tonight? Uplifted hand. I know it's a familiar story, but maybe there was a principle, maybe there was a truth that we, kind of that rock that we overturned again tonight that touched your heart. In a moment, the music will play, and I invite you to come forward. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time invitation here. God, help us to have faith like the lad. In the grand scheme of things, we don't have much, but we give it all to you. Lord, that you could do something with it for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you bless this time invitation now. Lord, there were many that raised their hands that want to be part of your work. And Lord, I pray that they would step out tonight and make that commitment. Bless this time, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Amen.